Hey everybody, welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up here at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network's built-into Rockin' Riley's at the Renaissance Hotel on West 35th Street. I am Matt McCarthy, and I have the pleasure of being here with Martin Pengelly. Pengelly with a hard G.
Yep, a hard G.
A hard G for a hard man. Yes, sir. We are ecstatic about having the likes of you raising the level once again on Rugby Wrap-Up for some silly reason, sir.
Well, I'll try and keep it raised. Guardian gravitas, I guess.
The Guardian, folks. He's with the Guardian. We got a couple of things we want to talk about today. We have the Much Ado About Nothing USA Rugby Congress. We're going to talk about the Pro 14 and the spectacular Can-Am Rugby Tournament up in Saranac Lake / Lake Placid. Pat Guthrie, John Morgan, Carrie Hoffman, a whole slew of different people worked hard to bring a spectacular production on the Rugby Channel of that tournament, and I'm sorry you missed it.
I did miss it. I was supposed to travel with Old Breed, Marines Rugby, and thanks to Guardian staff levels, I couldn't.
All right, well, the next one, an Old Breed, great guys. Ryan Ginty was up there from Next Level Rugby with them, and we've got some great swag, my fishing hat and my cool baseball cap, courtesy of Rhino Rugby, specifically Gary Lowe. Oh, and I got to salute the over 55 Mystical Geese, a combination of Mystic River guys. We had some of our New York Rugby Club guys, including Jim Hirschline, Joe Pash, John Trueheart. Then you have the over 45s, which were won by the Connecticut Gray. Then you had the women's champions were Old Blue over the Empire GU. I think the social winners were the host team, the Mountaineers, featuring the Morgan brothers. John Morgan's nephews, Forrest and Kevin, were just amazing. They had this unbelievable comeback win over the Detroit Eastside Hyenas. I bet you didn't know that there were hyenas in East Detroit.
I learn something new every day.
And they were spectacular. The best kits of the tournament. They had like pie and colon as their numbers. So as the announcer / broadcaster, trying to do the play-by-play and color commentary with their numbers was a particular chore. No. But they were in red, white, and blue representing America. They were great Americans. And despite having their hearts broken by the Mountaineers and the Morgan boys, did win the last match of the day, the men's final, beating the Brockport Doggies, who, like the Connecticut Gray, had about 15 teams entered across the board in the tournament and had a traveling fan base of about 200 strong. Oh, and in the over 35 final, you got to see Wild Bill Bishop of the Connecticut Gray, who was also in the over 45 final, on the pitch against Daniel Craig lookalike and Play Rugby USA founder Mark Griffin, who played for the Wild Rovers in that over 35 final. Great tournament, great people, and I can't wait for the next one. But let's get back to Rugby Congress. What do your flies on the wall tell you about what happened?
My flies on the wall tell me that not much happened in the event after 2 weeks or so leading up to it of interesting politicking and campaigning. And in the event, nothing really changed. I've heard directly from a fly sitting opposite me about committee changes that may happen.
I don't know what you're talking about. I categorically and unequivocally deny having ever spoken to you.
I just identified my source, and Scaramucci will be around to deal with you.
There's the smooch bell, right?
The mooch bell.
Yeah.
The mooch bell.
The mooch bell.
I mean, what's the U.S. Army phrase? Hurry up and wait. It's going to take a while.
It's also in the film business.
And it's in, actually in journalism, it's just hurry up these days. But
yeah.
That's what I've heard. Not much has changed. The board positions haven't changed. Our friend Tony Ridnell, I think he's taking...
He's got to be pretty disappointed. I mean, he put a lot of work into it, but he's opened up a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be some transparency and there's going to be some accountability, hopefully.
Absolutely. It's a case of changes in bodies like that has a glacial pace at the best of times.
Yeah, and statistically speaking, they went from a 38-1 with a couple of abstentions. Is it abstentions? I keep screwing up that
yeah,
word.
It's yeah, abstention.
Abstentions. With two abstentions the last time when they had that vote of confidence thing, to this time, I think there was a number of, 34 and two abstentions? Was I don't know.
34-9 altogether.
34-9. Yeah, 34-9. And two abstentions in terms of ratifying Chad Keck, who is back on the board, and Barbara O'Brien is the new board member.
Yes.
Right.
As I understand it.
All right. We'll be right back with more of this on the Congress, and then we're going to skip across the pond and talk about Pro 12/Pro 14. We'll be right back.
So this is the 10th anniversary of the NYC Rugby Cup, which is hard to believe. It's come a long way. I think we've got over 60 teams here today, and they're all kitted out, representing different teams from across the country. We've always had a theme every year, and this is the culminating event for our partner programs and our community programs that work with us throughout the year to come and showcase their skills and their go-forward attitude as well. So it's super exciting to be celebrating the 10th anniversary. Thanks to AIG and Canterbury for supporting us, all the volunteers, all the sponsors, and especially the staff and volunteers. Some fantastic rugby, lots of sportsmanship, the kids still had a blast. And now, of course, now we've finished, the sun has come out. So that's the way it goes, I guess. Every day's a rugby day.
Horses Rugby, rugbyrambo.com, Danny Sauce!
And we're back, Matt McCarthy and Martin Pengelly at the Studio 34 Fantasy Sports Network Studios in the Renaissance Hotel at Rockin' Riley's. We talked briefly about the Can-Am Rugby Tournament in Saranac Lake/Lake Placid before we went on to Congress. Let's get back to the Congress stuff. You did name your source. One of your sources one of your close sources said that there was some committee changes/improvement as per Dan Payne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can quote your source if you'd like.
Well, I can just quote the committee's looking at opening up transparency and opening up, I guess, discussion on what's been discussed in the past couple of weeks and some high performance.
Discussion on discussion.
That's what committees do. They discuss discussion. It's going to take some time,
yeah,
basically, to affect
so,
change.
Apparently, there's now going to be a high performance committee, mm-hmm. and that'll have Alex Magleby as the committee chair. I believe Steve Lewis will be handling the sevens, and it's about the national teams and pathway and performance.
Yes, that's as I understand that. Which, of course, is the work that Steve, well, and Alex Magleby have been doing particularly.
It'll be 15s and sevens.
15s and sevens, yeah.
Men's and women's.
You know, whether it's a discussion about discussion or effects. Discussion about discussing discussions.
Yeah.
You could go into an endless feedback loop.
All right, so the skinny on the whole Congress was not a lot was done in terms of radical stuff. There might be some incremental things, but if nothing else, there are more eyes on what's going on here. There are more eyes going forward on accountability.
Yeah, I mean, the effect of Tony Ridnell's campaign has been to raise the awareness of this issue at the heart. I mean, the truth of it is, to be contested.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I've got reams and reams of notes, but I don't know the truth of things. So that's been raised. That happened. The actual action at Congress was zero, but it wasn't zero. As we said, there were incremental steps.
Yeah,
made there, and you have to make incremental steps in these kind of things until maybe you bust open a crack.
There were no major bylaw overhauls either, but I think we've pretty much covered everything that's happened.
That's what I know.
In a way, until we get some more Congress members on here, which we will do. And we weren't there, so it would be unfair to continue to speculate. Let's go to the Pro 12/Pro 14 now.
Yes, yes, let's. Interesting announcement that it's now 14, that the open secret that the Cheetahs and the Kings will be involved in the two-conference competition next year. There's been official silence and lots of leaking in this story so far. I've been monitoring today the reaction of friends, other writers back in Europe about this, and there's a mix of bemusement and bafflement and some excitement about it. It's a big move. We've had the Scotsman has covered the American angle widely. I've written a couple of pieces, one with a reporter of ours down in Texas. But in recent weeks, when this has been developing, it's just focused on the Cheetahs and the Kings. I presume that's just because that's happening. Whether reports will continue on America, I suppose, depends on, you know, obviously in journalism terms, what moves and what sources say. But the focus is now on the thing that's actually happened.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the Americans that are trying or have their hats in the ring to get one of these Pro 12 Pro 14 franchises react to this news. There's groups out of DC, Philadelphia that I my intel tell me are relatively alive, or they consider themselves alive.
Yeah.
What will this mean if what will it mean monetarily for the Pro 14?
Well, it's down to mean an extra $6 million, £6 million, I should say, in revenue. That's the reported figure with the TV rights expanded with South African market and so on.
So they're going to go from 14 to 20. Is that accurate?
I don't know if that's accurate. I've seen some
numbers that the previous TV deal that the Pro 12 had was 14 million as opposed to the 95 of the top 14 in France.
Yeah, that's those are the reports I've seen too. I don't know.
And what's it, something like 20 something for the premiership?
Round about that, yeah. It's the Pro 12, Pro 14 is behind in money terms. This is about money. This isn't about needing money. Shane Williams, the Wales former Wales wing, had a very interesting take on it in the British press, pointing out that it's all about money, but the people who generate most of the money, who watch TV and have these behind these deals and who come through the turnstiles, are the fans, and they have not been consulted in this move for South Africans, and there's some deep uncertainty in places like Wales where some of the teams don't have very many fans.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting move.
Yeah, that is an interesting move. And we'll be back just after this, but we'll talk about the Italian teams.
Well, I mean, the Italian teams are the Italian teams. They are law unto themselves. No one really knows what's going on. They're still there. There was talk there was going to be one or none, and they're still there. So that's, you know, that's a partial victory for them.
All right, we'll find out if it's going to be the Pro 14 or the Pro 13, perhaps, just after these words.
If you're just joining us, this is a big match and a big moment as Clijsters toes the line.
You know, John, Anderson has really been struggling out there today. Mistake as Clijsters clinches another title. Don't let your nutrition get in the way. USANA, the official multivitamin of the WTA.
I'm George Hook, and you're watching Rugby Wrap Up.
We are back at Rugby Wrap Up at the Studio 34 Fantasy Sports Network. Martin, we left off briefly talking about the Italians. You said that they're going to be the two Italian teams, but which teams will it be, and will one of them move to Rome?
Not at the moment. In the announcement that we've seen, it's staying as it was. It's Benetton, Treviso, and Zebra.
Okay.
Italian rugby is a very small scale operation again. So,
comparatively speaking, who's in more trouble, the Italians or the Welsh?
Well, the Italians are permanently in trouble in terms of money. I mean, there isn't any. The irony is, in the old days, in the 80s, 90s, before rugby went pro, there was money in Italy because they paid people like Campese to play as de facto pros, etc., 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 but it's still at that level. I mean, some of the Welsh teams aren't doing so well. You know, the Dragons are a basket case. They've been taken over by the Union. You know, there's some small scale teams in this. There's big teams like Munster with their 25,000 crowds and their excellent stadium.
So getting back to the Dragons, owned by the Union, or
yes,
run by the Union.
Yes.
So how does that work? And where's the conflict of interest in getting them better when you got other teams say, hey, we're competing?
It's a complicated area. I mean, the regions, the four Welsh sides and regions, were set up by the Union. They're over the top of the Welsh club game, and that's a 20-year sore now.
But this would be the American equivalent of the NFL running your Denver Broncos.
My Denver Broncos. Oh.
He's a Denver Bronco fan, folks.
From the 80s. Yes. It would be, yes, in a way. But in rugby, it works like this across the world in different ways. I mean, the New Zealand organization is all based around the Union.
So will that translate to an American franchise if Americans are used to their owners owning their teams and being able to dictate how much they spend for the most part and what players they get in and all that jazz? In rugby, it's not really that capitalistic. It's more of a socialistic environment.
Sort of, yes, but without the corporate welfare aspect of the NFL.
But the NFL has huge money.
Yeah.
And the teams are able to spend and share and get their own. They can market their teams. They can discuss who comes and goes, mm-hmm, for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, it's every rugby league in every different territory has a different way of approaching it and a different conflict with the national team and the national union, or a different harmony with them, but that's quite rare to be in full harmony. I mean, what you...
So if you're an American owning a Pro 12 franchise in Washington, for instance, mm-hmm. how much say are you going to have in your squad?
You should have full say in the American squad, I guess. I don't know. I've heard from reasonable sources ideas that an American team would take on some young European players, some young Irish, Welsh, Scottish players, say, to get it staffed, which would, you know, that would argue for a level of league involvement in running the team.
Could it be an Italian team?
Italian players, it could be.
But could one of the Italian teams actually just physically move over here?
The name,
that'd be crazy.
The name or the state could.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got some final thoughts on any of this stuff? Because time flies here.
Well, I found the Pro 12 to America or not to America and to South Africa story extraordinary to follow as best I can, because I'm not a full-time rugby writer. I should admit that. I'm a news editor trying to chase Donald Trump as best I can, but... When I'm on rugby...
Report on Donald Trump, folks. He's reporting.
Chasing his tail. Pro 12 has not engaged. They've spoken to me to say, we'll speak to you soon at every level.
Yeah. I'm getting the same thing.
And they never have spoken to me. I understand that. I understand what they're doing. Well, I don't understand, but I understand why they're trying to do that.
They're putting everybody... against each other to see what best deal comes out.
Ascribe too much of a Machiavellian scheme behind this, to be honest. It's in America, the impression I've had, and I've had some very frank conversations with some very sincere people from different cities who want to bring this here, it's been fairly chaotic.
Yeah.
And it still is. And most people in Britain, regarding the announcement of the Pro 14, said, well, wow, now we've got an announcement, we haven't been told anything before this.
Right.
I understand why a league wouldn't do that when you're trying to work out contracts, but it's been a very mysterious situation.
Would they wait to see if this Pro 14 year is successful before they actually dive into America?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
so these parties could be strung along a year.
Yeah, definitely. Well, more. I mean, it would make sense. I know people want certainty, but it surely makes sense to take your time. When were people originally talking about Houston possibly coming in? Now,
right.
That seemed incredible to me. I mean, the idea of Houston away at Connacht is still quite incredible to me.
Right,
but apparently it can happen. You know, Toronto Wolfpack is working in whatever way it works in rugby league.
Yeah,
so it's possible. But I would say, I'm not a money man, that the longer you take over it, probably that argues the better.
Well, you're not a money man yet, but you will be in short order after you come on Rugby Wrap-Up a few more times, Martin. Time is up, unfortunately. I want to thank you for coming in. It's been great. It's been too short. We'll have to do it again real soon. You are not too far away, so let's get you in as a regular.
Yeah, gladly. Around the demands of Mr. Trump.
Around the demands of POTUS, we'll have Martin again. Matt McCarthy for Martin Pengelly here at Studio 34, signing off.